came, I always leave the door cracked a little bit. Just absolutely ferocious. Yes, Kukla, the one.
This is the Quality News Network. The FDA says it's ruled out tampering in connection with the growing E. coli outbreak from fresh spinach, which so far has sickened more than 100 people in 23 states and caused the death of at least one person. The company connected to the outbreak says its organic products have been cleared of suspicion. However, the government is still recommending that consumers refrain from eating any fresh spinach, bagged or fresh, until they're able to resolve the problem. President Bush addresses the UN General Assembly tomorrow about his vision of democracy for the Middle East. The president will also be meeting with six heads of state while in New York for a three-day visit, which began today. The White House says it's confident it can reach a compromise agreement with the Senate over the administration's proposed rules on interrogating terror suspects, but time is short. Congress adjourns a week from Friday until after the November elections. Al-Qaeda in Iraq has joined other Islamic militants in threatening to retaliate against Christians as retribution for last week's speech by Pope Benedict, which contained references to Islam and violence. The Pope apologized yesterday for the fact that his remarks had unintentionally offended Muslims. In southern Afghanistan today, a bicycle-riding suicide bomber killed four Canadian NATO troops while they were handing out school supplies to Afghani children, many of whom were wounded. Taliban is claiming responsibility. The Associated Press is urging the U.S. government to release one of its Iraqi cameramen, who they say has been detained by the U.S. military for 5 months without being charged with a crime. The AP also says the man is but one of 14,000 people the U.S. has imprisoned worldwide without bringing charges against them. More deaths in Iraq today, at least 31 people killed and dozens injured throughout the country in sectarian violence. And Iraq says it expects to take full control of a second of its 18 provinces sometime this week. Both are in southern Iraq, where there has been little violence. Talks to form a national unity government in the Palestinian territories have been suspended by President Mahmoud Abbas because of conflicting statements from Hamas over the weekend. Abbas is now heading up for New York, where he'll meet with President Bush this week. Hurricane Helene continues to gain strength in the Atlantic, but the Category 3 storm poses no threat to land. The two-week-old wildfire burning near the Los Angeles-Ventura County line in Southern California doubled in size over the weekend and has now consumed more than 90 square miles. It's heading for the Ojai Valley. 300 residents have been evacuated. Two other fires are burning out of control near Palm Springs. And Patricia Kennedy Lawford, the wife of actor Peter Lawford and sister of President John Kennedy, has died. She was 82. Science and business news are next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The U.S. trade deficit rose to its second highest level ever in the second quarter of this year, $218.4 billion, up 2.4% from the first quarter. News from Ford Motors today, the automotive news reporting that executives from Ford and General Motors are talking about the possibility of merging or forming an alliance. Both companies have declined comment on the story. Ford is quoted as saying it will exercise its right to buy the Rover brand from BMW. International Monetary Fund members have overwhelmingly approved a proposal to change the status within the IMF of China, South Korea, Mexico, and Turkey. From now on, they'll contribute more money to the organization and in turn will receive more voting shares. A 40-year-old Iranian-American woman is part of a Russian crew aboard a Soyuz spacecraft that was launched this morning from Kazakhstan and is now heading for the International Space Station for a 10-day stay. She paid a reported $20 million to become the first female space tourist. And a scare aboard the International Space Station this morning when the astronauts smelled an unpleasant odor, which caused them to immediately put on their emergency life suits, turned out to be a toxic, non-life-threatening leak from an oxygen tank. Everything now back to normal. Light sweet crude oil is trading up 97 cents this hour at $64.36 a barrel. On Wall Street, the markets are mixed. The Dow is down 14 points at 11,547. NASDAQ down 1 at 2,235. And the S&P is flat at 1,320. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walters. Now 5 past the hour.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, me's right. Today's Tom Sawyer, me's right.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Glad to be back with you again this afternoon. We have a lot of items to discuss today, not the least of which is, the division in the GOP, the greedy oil party, is growing wider and deeper, they're imploding. Folks, they can't. They don't understand that all this time that they've been in charge. That in order to be a governing party, you have to like to govern. And they don't really care for governing. They don't really care for government. As one of their chief architects of their program, Grover Norquist, once said, he didn't want to abolish government, he just wanted to weaken it to the point where he could drag it into the bathroom and drown it in the bathtub. So if you have a party in power that doesn't like to govern, what happens? Well, things start to crack apart. Bureaucracy begins to become too weighty for them. And instead of adhering to rules and regulations and laws, they tend to make up their own rules, right? And that's exactly what we've seen with the Bush administration. And as the day has worn on today, we've seen a number of things from over the weekend and today as well, a number of items beginning last week with the Republicans not able to hold their own side together. President Bush wants them to, the stupid guy, you know him. The stupid guy. He wants them to create new laws to govern military detainee trials that would essentially allow torture and other coercive methods of getting testimony and from the people that they claim are enemy combatants. But the Senate says no, or at least the Senate panel that discussed those very options, they're saying no. And Lindsey Graham, the military lawyer who has been with the Judge Advocate General Corps for many, many years, 20-plus years, who is a Republican and who normally is, well, you know, not on the side of good and just and the law, has come out and said, basically, well, I would rather our system of government be intact than keep my Senate seat. And so, you know, he has come out in against the president's plan for military detainee trials. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Also on the show today, a little bit later on, I should have Tony Trupiano, who is running for Congress in Michigan's 11th District. He is a former talk show host himself and is running for office. And, you know, I think it would be excellent to have a guy like Tony in the Congress. And so we're going to have him on a little bit later on in the program. If you want to get in on the show today, as you heard at the top of the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, head on. You can also email me, Bruce at Bruce Burch. That's with a U, Bruce Burch, B-U-R-C-H. Bruce at BruceBurch.com, and you can also avail yourself of our online experience. Go to the chat room at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Quick shout-out to Shelby LaPre at RadioPower.org. Thank you so much for carrying this program. Now, looking into some of the stories today, now I've got a couple of interesting things I wanted to share with you, but looking into the stories today that are out there, one that is in particular to me very interesting is this whole Lindsey Graham interview from Face the Nation. And let's see. No, I don't care for the man. I really don't have a much love for him at all. But I do have respect for him. I do have enough respect for him to recognize that at least he's trying to do the right thing with regard to the interrogations of the military detainees. Got a clip here from Face the Nation yesterday. I want to go ahead and run that. And after that, we'll take our break and we'll come back and do phone calls, et cetera. This is the Bruce Burch Radio Program.
Senator Graham, I want to talk to you first for a little bit. The president said last week that if the Congress does not write some sort of authority defining basically what the CIA can do in its interrogation, that the CIA will simply have to stop interrogating people. Number one, do you believe that's going to happen? And number two, could you live with that if that's what it came to?
Well, the problem we're facing as a nation is sort of like seeing sausage being made, that there are three branches of government. The president assumed the Geneva Convention did not apply to the war on terror. Humane treatment did. I agreed with that. The Supreme Court says the Geneva Convention applies. So what I would like to do is give our president the tools that we need to defend ourselves, an effective CIA program where our agents can't be prosecuted for war crimes ill-defined. They can't be sued and lose their houses because they're doing their job. They can defend themselves in court if they're ever accused of doing something by saying, I was following orders. The way we do that is very important. The tools that we give them could become clubs to be used against us if we don't watch
it. We'll talk about that. What is wrong, in your view, with what the president wants to do?
Well, there's two things after Hamdan decision.
What's
the first
Hamdan
thing? That was the Supreme Court decision that struck down the military trials of enemy terrorists.
All right.
We got to deal with getting the trials back on track, and how can we interrogate people within the Geneva Convention? If it's seen that our country is trying to redefine the Geneva Convention to meet the needs of the CIA, why can't every other country redefine the Geneva Convention to meet the needs of their secret police? It would be a disaster. We can protect the program. The program is people. But we need not, in my opinion, go down the road of being seen as redefining treaty obligations that have been longstanding. The Geneva Convention, Bob, is just not some concept. It has saved lives. We adhere to it, and we expect others to do it. I know Al-Qaeda and Taliban will butcher our people, but this is not the only war we're going to be in. I can give you plenty of examples of where downed pilots, people caught in foreign countries, were saved from torture and death because we insisted the Geneva Convention be applied. So that's my concern. I want want to create a CIA program that fits within our domestic laws, where people won't be charged with ill-defined crimes, they won't be frivolously sued, but we cannot and must not and need not change the Geneva Convention in a way that would be perceived as backing out of it. There's a way to get there from here.
Well, explain to me what you mean when you say if an American is captured.
Let me give you a good
example. Well, let's say in Iran.
This war can take on many different dimensions. Nation states could become involved, not just rogue people like Al-Qaeda and Taliban. There's CIA agents all over the world trying to protect us. What would happen if a CIA agent were captured in Iran trying to suppress their nuclear program and the Iranian government put this person on trial as a war criminal and the Iranian prosecutor had a file marked secret, gave it to their judge and their jury and said, convict this man, and they never shared the evidence with the American agent. We would go nuts. We would say that secret trial violates the Geneva Convention standards for trying people. What if the Iranians gave him a lawyer and allowed the lawyer to look at the evidence the jury had, but would not allow the lawyer to talk to the agent about the case against them? What would we do if the Iranians sentenced an American to death based on evidence the American never saw? We would go crazy. Unfortunately, there's 90% agreement on how to do these trials after the Supreme Court ruling, but there's a provision in the military commission model of the president's proposal that would allow the jury to get evidence not seen by the accused, call it classified, and the person go to jail never knowing what the jury convicted him of. I'm all for protecting classified information from being unfairly disclosed, but you cannot have a trial and call it an American trial, have a Geneva Convention trial where the person goes to jail and never saw what the jury saw. What does confrontation rights mean? It means you can tell your side of the story. Pedophiles and terrorists, everybody we try deserves to know what they're accused of so they can defend themselves. And if we do it differently now, different than we've done in 200 years, it will come back to haunt us because other people will start doing this. And imagine an American in a foreign land going to the death chamber, never seeing the evidence against them. It would be an outrage against our people, and we can't legitimize that.
Yes.
All right, you're listening to the Bruce Burch Radio Program. When we come back, we'll take some more to hear some more audio out of that clip. Senator Graham is trying to say something, and what he's trying to say is that if we allow the changes to be made to our laws, we're essentially damning our own soldiers in the future to a fate worse than death. That's exactly what he's saying. This is the Bruce Burch Radio Program. I'll be right back.
Must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
Yeah.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
On the Bruce Burst radio program, it's about 22 minutes past the hour. There's a lively debate going on in the chat room about immigration. If you're interested in checking that out, there's some folks who are having an interesting conversation about their beliefs about immigration. I'm going to go ahead and run the rest of this this Lindsey Graham clip for you, because I think there's something he's going to say coming up that I think is very interesting and actually raises him about 2 points in my estimation. This is from Face the Nation yesterday.
Here, what, in your view, from your point of view, is worse, the impression that you think it would send to other countries and other people around the world, or the tactical restraints that it would put on our
interrogators? Well, I think that it would be a substantive difference. If you do a trial in America where we legitimize the jury seeing something the accused can't defend himself against, it's going to come back to haunt us. The Iranian situation could be very real in the coming future. The worst thing we could do, in my opinion, is to create tools that are seen as legal shortcuts that erode our standing in the world. We need to change our laws to make them more clear. They are confusing. The president does need a program. The CIA does need a program to get good information. We can do that together. My goal is simple. I want to give the tools to the president to defend us that the Congress can feel good about, that the courts will accept as legal. We need all three branches of government on board.
Let me ask you, I want to just ask you, I'll bring in the other senators in a minute. This would seem to me to be a huge political risk for you. You come from a very conservative state,
right.
A state that is probably one of the strongest states for President Bush. You're taking on the president on this. I'll bet you that you get a primary opponent as a result.
I'm getting pounded at home by some people. Why can't you work with the president? The president wants to defend us. The CIA needs to get good information. These guys are barbarians. Why are you standing in the way? I'm not standing in the way. I share the same goals, but I'm a military lawyer, 22 years as a member of the Air Force JAG Corps. When I put that uniform on, I took an obligation as a military officer. Now I have an obligation as a senator. I admire our president. I want to help him. But the biggest risk in the world is not Lindsey Graham losing an election. We can have a good country without Lindsey Graham being in the Senate. We cannot have a great nation when we start redefining who we are under the guise of redefining our law. My biggest fear is that as we try to solve these complicated legal procedures and problems, that we're seen as taking shortcuts and we don't redefine the law, we redefine America in a way so we can't win this war. That's what Colin Powell's saying. That's what General Bessie's saying. It's not about my political career. America can do well without me, but we cannot do well if we seem to abandon our principles and the rule of law.
And there you go. Senator Lindsey Graham, who is coming out and saying basically that he would be willing probably to give up his Senate seat in order to preserve the rule of law in the United States of America. I find that to be very honorable. Now at least him coming out and saying it on national television. The only other angle that I'm going to add to this is that, of course, you know, Arlen Specter came out and talked about how bad it was, this illegal wiretapping, and then he writes a law that basically condones exactly what they're doing, makes it legal. And also retroactively insulates them from any criminal charges as a result. That they're trying to push this law through right now before the November elections, because you know what's going to happen in November, don't you? That's right. Democrats are going to take the House and Senate, and then there will be articles of impeachment prepared. Okay, maybe I'm living in a dream world, but, you know, no, I'm not. I really do believe they're going to take the House and Senate, and then, of course, once they take the House and Senate, it'll be up to you and me, listener, to hold their feet to the fire. Let's go straight over to the telephone lines. We've got our good friend Jim on line one. Jim, how are you doing this afternoon?
All right. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
You know, I'm a native of South Carolina, and I'm very proud of Senator Graham, and I have... Even though he and I are at opposite ends in many cases of the political spectrum, I have a great deal of respect for him as a man and as an attorney and as a fellow brother officer, okay?
Yeah.
And I've always held him in highest esteem because I think he's the man you can do business with. And I think that he has basically come above the fray and will exemplify the type of leadership that we can work with as far as the Republicans are concerned. He's not a bad guy. He's a good fellow, Bruce.
Well, you know, I'll agree with you about that for right now. But I've seen him do some things too, Jim, that to me exemplified the opposite of that statement. Now, I've seen his behavior on some of the hearings where he ridiculed witnesses and talked down to them and really made himself look like an ass.
I mean, well, people make mistakes and they change, and I think this is a hiatus for him, and he realizes exactly how far he's going to have to go. Is he going to follow this man, this Nero type figure, or is he going to be there when the Praetorians turn on him?
Well, I certainly hope. I think people can change too, Jim. The only angle that I've added to this is that we've seen this. I mean, I certainly hope that he's dead serious about what he's saying.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. You know, I'm sure he took his oath of office as a member of the United States Air Force Officer Corps and the Senate very seriously, and I think he's grown a lot and has an opportunity to grow a lot. And it took a lot for him to do what he's done. And one more thing. This is just a personal note. As far as brother officers are concerned, I lost my uncle today, who was a glider pilot in World War II.
Oh, Jim.
And he was involved in Operation Market Garden, in which we really got our asses kicked. And he really saw some rough stuff over there. He and I used to talk a lot about the war and stuff like that and things of that nature. He's the last of my father's brothers. It's been a sad day for me.
Well, Jim, my condolences, my friend. I know it's got to be tough.
Thank you.
So certainly hope that wow. Our heartfelt condolences to Jim and his family. He's experienced a loss today, and I certainly hope that you make it through. Okay, my friend. Tell you what, let's do. I'm supposed to have a guest after the bottom of the hour, so let's go ahead and take our break, and when we come back, hopefully we'll have Tony Truppiano on, I know that, yeah, it just happens the way it happens. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program, where we try to bring freedom back to the United States of America. I'll be right back.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi. LOL. Well, AISI, it was NBD.
Kids are spending more and more time online, and even if you heard what they're typing, you probably wouldn't know what they're saying.
Some PPL, whatever. ISS.
They chat online in a language full of acronyms, and unless you use it every day, you won't understand it.
YIWGP.
You won't know what they're saying or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. So here's an acronym for you. HDOP. Help Delete Online Predators. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 34 minutes past the hour. A lot of different things going on today. Now, you know, that whole Lindsey Graham clip situation, as I said before I took Jim's phone call, you know, I don't put much stock personally in, you know, into what any of it. I'm not going to single out Lindsey or anything, but I'm not going to put any much stock in anything the Republicans may say, because after all, right now, we are heading into an election. And the tide is turning, according to all of the polls that I've read. You can go to pollingreport.com, and you can look at the trends over the last few months as far as Democratic and Republican, you know, whether or not people want one party or the other to rule the Congress. And overwhelmingly, aside from a Fox News poll, of course, faux news poll, overwhelmingly people want Democrats in the Congress. And you know, and that's why it's fortunate that we have folks like Tony Trupiano, who is running for Congress in Michigan. And you know, because we need to have people who have a conscience, we need to have people who have a heart, who understand the issues and who can get in there and do the hard, you know, to coin a phrase from the stupid guy, to get in there and do the hard work that needs to be done, undoing the damage that these Republicans have done to our government for the last 6 years. Joining me on the line is our good friend former talk show host, Tony Trupiano. Tony, how are you doing this afternoon?
I am great. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, thank you for joining me. You know, first of all, I think it's fantastic that you're running for Congress. And, you know, and glad to have you. Now, tell me about the 11th District a little bit, Tony.
You know, it's a true swing district. It's a 50-50 district. We just actually did some polling that bears that out. Demographically, you know, like a lot of districts, we're very mixed. But what's interesting, and of course, gerrymandering doing its job, there is, you know, there are big chunks of the district that are wealthy Republicans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, interestingly, Bruce, we've really spent a lot of our time in those areas trying to move people. You know, we talk in politics about our base. You know, Democrats have a base, Republicans have a base. It's those folks in the middle that you try to find and you try to change their minds, and I think we're making progress.
Well, tell me some of the things that, Tony, tell me some of the things that you're doing to actually change some of their minds, because I know, you know, across the country, if you're doing something that's working, people need to know about it.
Well, you know, it's old-fashioned politicking. It's going door-to-door. It's, you know, tonight, because we've got very bad weather here today, it's just been raining nonstop. I'll actually spend the night just calling voters, not a robocall. It's just me, and I'll spend the night. I'll probably get 500 or 600 calls in tonight. And I'll just call and introduce myself. The calls normally last maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes tops. Some of them are much shorter than that. A lot of times you just leave a message, and we're going to just try to get in as many calls as you can. I mean, there's nothing replaces. We call it grassroots, but it's the way it used to be done. Nothing replaces that.
You're absolutely right. You know, as who was it? Tip O'Neill said that all politics is local.
Mm-hmm.
And putting a face on you know, your name and what you're about, and absolutely a voice with it, I'm sure will win over many voters. Tell me a little bit about, you know, your campaign and some of the things that you're running on.
Well, you know, we're running on the things that most of us passionate progressives care about. I'm running on ending the war in Iraq. I'm running on returning this country back to fiscal responsibility. I'm running on finding a way to ensure every American, give them every American health insurance. I'm running on the issues, Bruce, that you're talking about on a daily basis. You know, the absolute shame of the process is when you actually get people to shut up and listen. Because, as you know, there's so much chatter out there. But when you get them to actually be quiet and listen and stay still, you know, we end up finding out that I don't care what political party you belong to, most of us want the same thing. You know, we want safe streets. We want good schools. We want to make sure that we can take care of the elderly. We all want that. So why do we, you know, why is it that we keep getting it wrong? I just think it's we've got the wrong people serving in the nation's capital. That's why.
You have, which brings me to another question. The biggest issue that people are thinking about, talking about, et cetera, and I'm sure that there will be some sort of October surprise to illustrate that, is global terrorism, Tony. What are your thoughts and ideas about national security and terrorism?
Well, we're failing. I mean, we've not been tough enough. We've certainly not been smart enough, Bruce. There's no question about that. You know, the things that have traditionally worked for this country, keeping an open communication going, even if you're not making progress, as long as you're still talking, as long as there's still some accountability. But, of course, we're talking about the Bush administration and Republicans who don't believe in accountability. We are failing this country as it comes to protecting our homeland. We are devastating and decimating our military corps. And the shame of it is we're not taking care of them. We are not honoring our promises to our military. And, you know, I read a great story this morning, I believe it was in the Washington Post, about all the terrible damage. It was in the New York Times, actually. All the terrible damage we've done from a foreign policy standpoint. And this president has no more cachet in the global community. I don't want to say that he's become a laughingstock, but Bruce, we, you know, as Americans, we should be outraged at what this Republican Party has done to this country.
Totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. And, you know, to follow that up, I know that there's been rumblings about Iran at this point. How do you see us? Well, let me ask you this. How do you see us extricating ourselves from Iraq and not invading Iran? Is there a way to do that?
Well, sure, there's a way to not invade Iran. You don't do it.
Right.
This president, again, refuses to talk with the Iranian government. Obviously, that's going to be a very fragile process, but it should be a process, and we're doing nothing. But with regard to Iraq, it's just time to do the responsible thing. I've said this for quite a while now. We just need to... We need to get out by the end of 2007. How do we do that? We set some benchmarks. We hold that. We hold everybody to those benchmarks. We re-engage or try to engage the UN in helping out in a peacekeeping effort. I just can't fathom, because there is no plan. The whole idea that, you know, we're in this cut and run, that all Democrats are cut and run. I didn't say one thing about cutting. Certainly don't want us to see us run, but we do need a plan to get out of there. I mean, what more is left to do? And I'm going to ask this question to your audience. Yeah. And I know they don't know the answer, but I'll ask it anyway. Maybe somebody does. We keep on being told by this president, by the vice president, by my opponent, Thaddeus McCotter, and anybody else that'll listen when a Republican talks, that we have to stay the course until there's a victory. So somebody tell me, what's a victory in Iraq?
That's a good question.
Well, when you don't define it, Bruce, it's pretty easy not to worry about meeting your goals, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, and that's exactly it. You know, from the very beginning, it's been a nebulous thing. You know, it was about, first of all, it was we invaded them over lies, invaded Iraq over a pack of lies, and then now, you know, once they realized they weren't going to find any weapons of mass destruction, you know, of course they knew they weren't going to, but once they, you know, that got out into the public eye, there has been no, you know, idea, oh, well, when they stand up, we'll stand down. You know, well, okay, yeah, sure.
Well, again, we keep on, we are in this mode where we never define what it means to stand up.
Right.
I had suggested that for every Iraqi military personnel we train, one of ours should come home. I mean, we've got a brilliant army. We know how to train. We know how to do this. Let's train one and send one home. There's nothing hard about that.
Nothing hard about that. You're absolutely right. You know what? And I think that the interesting thing, Tony, is that sometimes we tend to overlook the simple answers, as if to say that they would be too simple. We can't do that. So, but that's a great.
If we were parenting, Bruce. you know, there's a point where you, like, you got to kick the kids out of the house, or, you know, I've owned businesses, and sometimes you just have to say, I've given you your training, you know, nothing is going to replace the real experience. Get out there, slugger, and do it. Yeah, you're going to make some mistakes, but eventually you're going to figure it out and get it right. It's that complicated.
Moving, Moving back to the home front, one of the issues that this year that was such a big, that was a very big deal was immigration, Tony. What do you think about immigration, and how do you think that the problem that we're facing right now can be rectified, can be fixed?
Well, that's a great question, and it's a big question. We obviously have a severe problem, but, you know, to put this problem on Republicans or just Democrats is wrong. Everybody's ignored this forever. I mean, absolutely forever. And all of a sudden, the president starts talking about it, and look at all the trouble it's created. How do we solve the problem? I've seen some good proposals. I've seen some bad proposals. Obviously, there's a cost to illegal immigrants, and we need to be honest about that. I know a lot of Democrats voted for building that fence along the border. I find it funny and a waste of time and money. I really don't believe that building a fence along the Mexican border is going to do anything. We're just not paying attention, you know, one of the things that we absolutely must do, and unfortunately because of where our National Guard is now, Bruce, we need to protect our own borders. That will stop more illegal immigrants than any policy we'd ever have. But this just goes back to a fundamental flaw of the Bush administration. Doesn't matter what's on the books. Doesn't matter what kind of laws we have, because frankly, we're just not going to follow them.
And you know
what? What happened after he was elected or selected the second time?
Yeah.
The first speech he gives, Bruce, is about the political capital that he has. Now, I don't know about you, but he's kind of run this country the same way he ran all the other businesses that he's bankrupted. But when we talk about that stuff, people call us unpatriotic. I call it being, I don't know, common sense progressive. I just look at the facts and I address them. Anyway, back to the immigration argument. We already have laws in the books. Why don't we start just applying those laws? See what happens. It's a mess. This is just an absolute mess. And I'm sure you heard today that Congress will not be dealing with the immigration issue before the election.
Right. Well, of course not. It's too politically costly to them at this point, and to the Republican. Well, actually, to everybody, I think. No matter what you think about it, you're going to find it is definitely one of the most divisive issues that we've had come along in a long time.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, there's no question. Walk into a union hall, Bruce, as I walk into many of them to give speeches. And when this issue comes up, I mean, people are they're outraged. They're absolutely outraged. But there's no solution, and nobody's coming forward with a legitimate solution. And, I was driving yesterday. I was between two events, and I actually drove by a place of worship that said, illegal immigrants, welcome. And I'm just very curious what kind of reaction that got out of people as they drove by yesterday.
That would have been an interesting thing to see. Be a fly on the wall.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. And this is sort of tied into that. I think one of the issues that is facing us, and is going to be facing us into the future, is the realities of what healthcare costs us right now and what it will cost us going into the future. And, you know, along with that, the tax of folks who are undocumented, you know, getting healthcare, and folks who are underemployed, I guess is the best way to put that. That's the terminology. Taxing the healthcare system. What are your ideas for bolstering the healthcare system and creating something that's going to work for folks?
Well, I think we need to come up with a single payer healthcare system like Medicare and Medicaid. It was initially supposed to be our model for national healthcare in 1964. But unlike so many things that the government does, they just never finished the job. I can't fathom that there's a corporation in America today. And I got to tell you, I think at some level, Bruce, it has always been terribly unfair that businesses have been, employers have been responsible for the health care in this country. We already know that we have the finest doctors and yada, yada, yada. We can go through all those statistics. The bottom line is we're failing. We're failing. And we just need to find a single-payer system that everybody can live with, find an equation to fund it. You know, Congressman John Conyers has a nice proposal out there. Let's try to make that work. I can't fathom that outside the lobby, the insurance lobby, I can't imagine that anybody who has any kind of responsibility as it comes to providing benefits to their employees wouldn't like to see this kind of relief now. It's just time we do it.
I totally agree. Now, moving right along with that idea also, you're talking about employers, et cetera. You know, what about the economy? You know, are we, you know, as folks have suggested, heading into a recession? And if we are, how can we rectify that? What can we do, or what could you do specifically as a congressman to try to keep that from happening?
Well, one of the things that we have to do is we have to go examine our free trade agreements, and we need to renegotiate them. They have been an absolute disaster to our American way of life and our economy. Although I should remind your audience that it's very, you know, and of course, these free trade agreements also have rules and regs that other countries are supposed to follow. They don't. And I'm sure, Bruce, you've talked about it on your show, how this president does absolutely nothing to the countries that are playing unfair. I know why now. I know why he doesn't do anything. Because these countries are buying all of our debt. And it's kind of hard to go, it's like going to the banker and saying, hey, all these countries now own our debt. Who would have ever thought in our lifetime that Mexico would be buying U.S. debt? But they are.
We're a little hard up for cash right now, aren't we?
Yeah, and you know, it was interesting. Somebody had emailed me from the Department of Treasury last week. I had sent in a request. I wanted to know which countries were buying our debt, and the number four, and they weren't all countries. Number four on the list, oil exporters are buying our debt.
Oil exporters.
Corporations are buying U.S. debt.
Oh, my gosh.
This is bad, Bruce. How do we fix it? We get Republicans out of office. They don't get it.
They don't get it in a lot of areas. What, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned oil. What about alternative energies, Tony? What do you think about what's your stance on alternative energies?
Well, certainly it's way overdue. We know that, you know, we can do more with ethanol. We know that there are other forms of alternative energy that we ignore. We know that there are alternative energies that work that we just don't put the kind of research and development dollars into or provide the tax credits for, as many other countries throughout the world do. You know, the question I've been getting over the last couple of days is, why was it, you know, a month ago we were paying three in Detroit area, it was $3.19 a gallon was where it peaked. And, you know, today I saw it for $2.17. What happened, Tony? What happened in the last month that the price went up? And the answer to that question, Bruce, absolutely nothing. Nothing happened.
Be a meeting. A bunch of people had a meeting and decided, okay, let's cut them some slack for a little while so that we don't get investigated by Congress.
You know, it could have been, and I think this is all within the realm of possibility. It could have simply been that somebody said, you know, let's do a trial balloon, let's do a test balloon, and see how high we can do this. You know, what's the American people's tolerance? What can they handle? And we did, right, to 320, and depending on what part of the country you live in, I know in California it was in some places over $4 a gallon. And all of a sudden it's way back down, but for no reason, no apparent reason, except words and speculation. So we need to invest a great deal more into alternative sources of heating our homes and lighting our homes and getting our vehicles from point A to point B. But that's going to take a significant commitment by the federal government. It's going to take a real sense of vision and purpose, and I don't know that we're there yet. But I'll certainly fight for that, Bruce.
Now, I know we only got a few more minutes here, Tony, but I wanted to, first of all, ask you, you know, about or get your thoughts, if you will, about what's happening with Ford. And the second question, which is related to that, is what can we do to bolster the American Union today?
Well, what's happening at Ford, of course, has been devastating to my district. Some of those plants are within my district. I was at a retirees dinner last night for one of the plants that closed or will be closing next year. There's a real funeral sense to what should be a celebration. Retirees are profoundly concerned about the retirements, benefits, etc. Not to mention active workers who will certainly not have a job soon enough. So what's happening to Ford has been devastating. Devastating to the communities that I will represent and that I live in. With that said, I think that there seems to be a real sense, especially as it comes to labor, that you know they're in this really kind of uncomfortable transition, Bruce, between the tough exterior and interior that they once had and a more. And I'm not faulting them, but I think that there's been more contemplation lately, certainly much more negotiation and compromise than there's ever been. I place some of that blame, of course, on the American union workers themselves. They became complacent. And, you know, interestingly enough, I think that collective bargaining agreements made some of these blue-collar folks a lot of money, and they became Republicans as a result of that. So, you know, the union movement in this country is going through a massive transition, and I'm going to tell you, being in the middle of the heat right now, right in the middle of this fire, I really don't know where this ends up right now. It's kind of scary.
Well, it is kind of scary. I know that there is a bill that has been sort of laying on the table there in Congress about, I think it's called the Employees Free Choice Act, that would actually bolster shops who want to become union and would actually provide some teeth for the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, to use against businesses that use union busting tactics. And you know, I certainly hope that if you know once you not if but once you get elected, my friend, that you will help rally around that.
The NLRB has been an absolute death knell to labor unions. They are now, the majority of them are now Republican, as you know. And yeah, they make it harder and harder and harder for unions to do the job that they do. People need to start standing up for this stuff.
Absolutely. How can people, first of all, how can people, what can you use as far as volunteerism? How can people contribute? What kind of help do you, what can bloggers do, et cetera, to help you with your cause right now?
Thank you. The website is www.tony4congress2006.com. That's Tony4Congress. 2006.com. There's a place right there where they can make a donation or send a donation or sign up for the newsletter. If anybody is interested in helping us blog, I know on very quickly on Saturday from 2 to 4 o'clock Eastern time on firedoglake.com, I'm going to be doing 2 hours of live blogging on a blogathon. And
oh, cool.
So if people want to come in and ask me questions, I'll be blogging live right there at FireDogLake.com, and if anybody wants to get involved, just send me an email. My email address is right on the website, and I'll get back to you.
Fantastic. And can people also contribute to your campaign?
Yep, they can do it right through the website. The address is there. There's my ActBlue right at the top there. It's the where you can contribute right online. Couldn't make it any easier.
Well, keep us posted, Tony. I'll try to get you on again before the election and see how well things are going for you. I certainly wish you all the best, and I certainly hope that you get sent to D.C. into the belly of the beast to fight fire with fire, my friend.
Well, that will be the goal, and certainly with your help and that of your audience, this is very real. Thank you so much for giving me this chance.
Absolutely, Tony. Tony Truppiano, ladies and gentlemen. Tony, number 4, Congress2006.com. Tony, thanks a lot for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you, my friend.
Right. And we are going to go to a break and our news. And when we come back, we'll take your phone calls, 1-877-443-2366. If you want the archive of the show, visit HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. This is Bruce Birch. This is the Head On Radio Network, simulcast on RadioPower.org. I'll be right back.
Quality News Network. The FDA says it's ruled out tampering in connection with the growing E. coli outbreak from fresh spinach, which so far has sickened more than 100 people in 23 states and caused the death of at least one person. The company connected to the outbreak says its organic products have been cleared of suspicion. However, the government is still recommending that consumers refrain from eating any fresh spinach, bagged or fresh, until they're able to resolve the problem. President Bush addresses the UN General Assembly tomorrow about his vision of democracy for the Middle East. The president will also be meeting with 6 heads of state while in New York for a 3-day visit, which began today. The White House says it's confident it can reach a compromise agreement with the Senate over the administration's proposed rules on interrogating terror suspects, but time is short. Congress adjourns a week from Friday until after the November elections. Al-Qaeda in Iraq has joined other Islamic militants in threatening to retaliate against Christians as retribution for last week's speech by Pope Benedict, which contained references to Islam and violence. The Pope apologized yesterday for the fact that his remarks had unintentionally offended Muslims. In southern Afghanistan today, a bicycle-riding suicide bomber killed 4 Canadian NATO troops while they were handing out school supplies to Afghani children, many of whom were wounded. Taliban is claiming responsibility. The Associated Press is urging the U.S. government to release one of its Iraqi cameramen, who they say has been detained by the U.S. military for 5 months without being charged with a crime. The AP also says the man is but one of 14,000 people the U.S. has imprisoned worldwide without bringing charges against them. More deaths in Iraq today, at least 31 people killed and dozens injured throughout the country in sectarian violence. And Iraq says it expects to take full control of a second of its 18 provinces sometime this week. Both are in southern Iraq, where there has been little violence. Talks to form a national unity government in the Palestinian territories have been suspended by President Mahmoud Abbas because of conflicting statements from Hamas over the weekend. Abbas is now heading up for New York, where he'll meet with President Bush this week. Hurricane Helene continues to gain strength in the Atlantic, but the Category 3 storm poses no threat to land. The 2-week-old wildfire burning near the Los Angeles-Ventura County line in Southern California doubled in size over the weekend and has now consumed more than 90 square miles. It's heading for the Ojai Valley. 300 residents have been evacuated. 2 other fires are burning out of control near Palm Springs. And Patricia Kennedy Lawford, the wife of actor Peter Lawford and sister of President John Kennedy, has died. She was 82. Science and business news are next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The U.S. trade deficit rose to its second highest level ever in the second quarter of this year, $218.4 billion, up 2.4% from the first quarter. News from Ford Motors today. The Automotive News reporting that executives from Ford and General Motors are talking about the possibility of merging or forming an alliance. Both companies have declined comment on the story. Ford is quoted as saying it will exercise its right to buy the Rover brand from BMW. International Monetary Fund members have overwhelmingly approved a proposal to change the status within the IMF of China, South Korea, Mexico, and Turkey. From now on, they'll contribute more money to the organization and in turn will receive more voting shares. A 40-year-old Iranian-American woman is part of a Russian crew aboard a Soyuz spacecraft that was launched this morning from Kazakhstan and is now heading for the International Space Station for a 10-day stay. She paid a reported $20 million to become the first female space tourist. And a scare aboard the International Space Station this morning when the astronauts smelled an unpleasant odor, which caused them to immediately put on their emergency life suits, turned out to be a toxic, non-life-threatening leak from an oxygen tank. Everything now back to normal. Lightsweet crude oil is trading up 97 cents this hour at $64.36 a barrel. On Wall Street, the markets are mixed. The Dow is down 14 points at 11,547. NASDAQ down 1 at 2235. And the S&P is flat at 1,320. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 past the hour.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
Welcome back to the radio program. It's about 6 minutes past the hour here in the conversation zone of the Hit On Radio Network and being simulcast on radiopower.org. If you want to get in on the show today, you have that opportunity. The telephone number is 1-877-443-2366. And also, let's see. Yes, you can email me. That's right. It comes zipping in, zipping into Bruce at Bruce Birch, B-U-R-C-H, Bruce at BruceBirch.com. Do share your emails with me. I'd love to see what you're thinking about this afternoon as well. I've got a few stories I wanted to go through, and also let's do a phone call. Let's go over to the lines. Again, free speech phone line, 1-877-443-2366. Joining me now is Mike from Woodstock, I believe Woodstock, New York. Mike, how are you doing?
Yeah, that's Woodstock, New York in the beautiful Catskill Mountains.
All right, fantastic. Glad to have you with me this afternoon. What's going on?
Hey, are you of the White Rose Society?
I am Bruce Birch. That's the guy who does WhiteRoseSociety.org is Ben Birch. And interestingly enough, we're not related that we're aware of.
Okay, but you're friends, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a subscriber to that site.
Oh, cool.
I mean,
I
contribute a little bit.
Sure, and you know it's much appreciated, Mike. That you know part of what your donation goes actually to help support the streaming of HeadOnRadioNetwork.com as well. So thank you very, very much.
Yeah, you know, I did it actually as painlessly as possible. It's like with PayPal, you can set up any amount. So I give like $5 a month. And
that's fantastic.
It's well worth it so I can hear Randy and sit and cry and listen to Mike.
Yeah, I hear you.
I just wanted to comment on alternative fuels.
Okay, yeah, please do.
I have a diesel BMW that I run on vegetable oil.
Really?
Yeah. And it was not that hard to convert. It is, you do have to work a bit to keep it going. You have to gather fryer oil from restaurants, which is free, and, you know, maintain an oil stock and so on. But it's certainly doable. And I've driven about 4,000 miles on vegetable oil. Interestingly enough, I was on the highway in New Jersey this weekend with an Impeach Bush bumper sticker on my car. Mm-hmm. And I was in a real cheerful mood, and a guy drove by in a nice, shiny new car with his wife and his children, and he gave me the finger and kept giving it to me. And it just wasn't, like, quick. It was just a real determined finger. And, I was just trying to decide, how do I react? And my first reaction was anger, but I didn't give it back to him. I just kind of minded my own business, because if you feed into that hate, it's just an endless loop. So
I totally agree.
I took the high ground there, but it really kind of dug at me, that I didn't react. But I just wanted to pose that question to other listeners out there, what they would have done in the same situation or what they have done. I think love always defeats hate, but it's a real tough one.
It certainly is, especially, in the face of something like that. I know that, I have stickers on my car, too, and I'm in North Carolina. And this weekend, I drove, I went up into Virginia to see my mother and father, who are older, and, it's about 70 miles away from where I am right now. And, on a Sunday morning, and everybody's getting out of church, and, they're on the, just the peak time of the day to be riding around with the Bush chain gang on the back of the car. And I had a couple of people give me some dirty looks, but no one did anything like that. And I got to tell you, based on my experience, my own experience with having stickers on, I've had a few people give me the finger. I always smile and wave. I figure if anything, if I really want to upset them even further, is just be totally nice about it.
I agree, and that's my tactic also, but it's also a tough one, because the other part of you is these are the store winners.
Well, yeah, again, it's a party that is in power that doesn't. That hates government, and they are the ones who are governing, and so it's almost like it's a love hate relationship, I guess, with themselves at this point. They have no one to blame anymore, because they have all the houses of government at this point. But the other thing too is just people. I think, especially now, the political arena. This president has done more, he said, I don't have the quote right here, but he said something along the lines of, I'm a uniter, not a divider,
right,
or something like that.
Exactly.
And in actuality, he has probably created, personally, he and his cohorts, his gang of thugs there, have created more animosity, I believe, in the American political arena than we've seen in a long time. And in actuality, it stems directly, very much, I think, from their complete willingness to subvert laws, to just pretty much do as they please without any real accountability. And people are tired of it. The other thing, too, Mike, that I think is that we're seeing, especially, when, like you said, this guy gave you the finger, is that the Republicans and the folks who are the conservatives right now are feeling especially disillusioned, not only with their own party because of what's happened, especially, it's like this guy goes down the road, he's got two kids in the car. How can he justify to his kids do the right thing when his own president, the one he supports, won't follow the law?
Mm.
And so there's a, in my view, there is a direct dichotomy there where, while on the one hand they say, the moral relativists, the ones who, they claim to hold the moral high ground, especially with regard to gay marriage, to abortion, to all this stuff, but they pick and choose which laws they want to follow.
Yeah, well, the irony is that, of course, a crack dealer on the corner is going to go to jail for 10 years. Because this is a law and order nation, but it's not. And, I think if the biggest people, the most powerful people in the United States are breaking the largest crime. Why should any of us follow any law?
Boy, now we're talking about pure anarchism, aren't we?
Well, I think we're there. I mean, I really feel that. I don't think anybody should have to obey any laws if the chiefs, the alleged chiefs out there are totally lawless. One last comment before I move on and let you move on, actually. I think it's also ironic that in the allegedly liberal Northeast, you get these kinds of reactions from people. You know, you think of the South as a lot more conservative, but up where I live in upstate New York, it's a very conservative place. Lots of Bush Cheney stickers, and the support for the right wing agenda is still strong.
And in actuality, I read an article today that said Massachusetts right now is fighting for control, or the Democrats in Massachusetts there is a realistic challenge, to their domination of Massachusetts politics. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. We have a saying down here down south, and that is, the bit dog barks the loudest. So, you know what I'm saying? So, if when you're talking to folks, or if you're driving and you see that happen, well, you know, the deal is that they know they're on the way out, and they're just ramping up their hatred. And that's pretty much what it boils down to. But I do appreciate your call, Mike.
I enjoy your show. Keep it going, man.
I certainly will, my friend. Thanks for joining me. That was Mike from Woodstock, New York. Just as an interesting side note, folks, I was born the weekend after Woodstock in 1969. I don't know what that says about me, but I'm sure it says something. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. If you want to get in on the show today, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. I'm going to take a break. Come back. I'll be back. This is... Gone international with Sly and Robbie on the track. Drums and bass. We getting wild. Tech ball, just the last word. I don't understand the whole reason why you're telling us all that we need to unify. Rally round the flag and beat the drums of war. Sing the same old songs. We heard them all before. You're telling me it's unpatriotic, but I call it when I see it. When I see it's idiotic. The tears of one mother are the same as any other. Drop food on your kids while you're murdering the fathers. But don't bother to show it on CNN. Brothers and sisters, don't believe them that it's war against evil. It's really just revenge. Engaged on the poorest by the same rich men. Fight terrorists wherever they be found. But why you not bombing Tim McVeigh's hometown? You can say what you want. Propaganda television. But all bombing is terrorism. Chase down.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Head on with Bob Kincaid. Let's go back to the phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hi there, Bob.
Oh, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
Response, you all have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on the subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. Very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I have to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
Oh, we won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good man underground.
Head On.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
It's 21 minutes past the hour here on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. I'm glad to be back with you. We got a number of issues going on, and there seems to be. Let's see. I want to get over this. We had a phone call, and I really wanted to. You know, if you want to get in on the show, your turn is up. It's 1-877-443-2366. Now, let's look at some stories here. I know, that sounds crazy. According to Rasmussen reports, the struggling campaigns of Republican Senators Conrad Burns, Lincoln Chafee, and Mike DeWine, have led Rasmussen reports to modify their election ratings to yield an almost even split in the post-election Senate. To quote the report, the battle for control of the U.S. Senate is getting closer, much closer. Recently, they had summarized the Senate with Republicans leading 50 to 45, but now they give it as close as 49 to 48, with the GOP, the greedy oil party, only a seat ahead with three races still considered toss-ups. Rasmussen noted that if the GOP and Democrats were to split evenly, guess who would be the tie-breaking vote? That's right. None other than Darth Cheney himself. Apparently, a little more than a week ago, the balance of power summary showed the Republicans leading 50 to 45 with five states in the toss-up category. Today, Rasmussen reports is changing three races from toss-up to leans Democrat. As a result, Rasmussen reports now states that 49 seats as Republican or leans Republican, while 48 seats are rated as Democrat or leans Democrat. There are now just three states in the toss-up category. That would be Tennessee, New Jersey, and Missouri. Today's changes all involve Republican incumbents who have been struggling all year. In Montana, that would be Senator Conrad Burns. He's fallen behind John Tester, who is running as Democrat. Rhode Island Senator Lincoln Chafee survived his primary but starts the general election as a decided underdog. And Sherrod Brown is enjoying a growing lead over Ohio Senator Mike DeWine. Now, of course, Democrats have to win all seven states leaning their way, plus all three toss-ups to regain control of the Senate. And, of course, the report is saying while that's a tall order, recent history shows that it is quite possible for one party or the other to sweep all of the close races. The Democrats did so in election 2000, and the Republicans returned the favor in 2002. If the Democrats win all those seats but one, there would be a 50-50 tie. In that circumstance, of course, Vice President Dick Cheney would cast the deciding vote in his constitutional role as the presiding officer of the Senate. I'm thinking that's a good thing. If at least we'll keep him busy there in Washington. He can't be out creating trouble in other places, right? Right. From the Republican Corruption Department, from the Republican Corruption Department, let's play the dumbass whistle, shall we? All right. From the Republican Corruption Department, a U.S. federal judge on Monday rejected a plea of mercy from prosecutors and sentenced a former Enron Corporation executive who testified against Ken Lay and Jeff Skilling to 30 months in prison. 30 months in prison. That's just that's 2.5 years, and he'll probably get out in 18 months. David W. Delaney, a Canadian who pleaded guilty to insider trading in 2003 and cooperated extensively with the U.S. Justice Department's Enron task force, has been praised by prosecutors for his help in the case. Apparently, the judge said, "Yeah, well, that's all fine, well and good, but dude, you're going to do some time." Of course, Enron collapsed in a tangle of fraud in 2001, causing investors to lose billions and costing employees their jobs and retirement savings. Delaney's testimony helped convict Kenneth Lay, the former Kenneth Lay, who is probably now taking on some different name, the former Enron chairman, and Jeffrey Skilling, the former chief executive. The sentence was handed down by U.S. District Court Judge Kenneth Hoyt, and it was less than the 33 to 41 months provided under federal sentencing guidelines, but Deputy Task Force Director Catherine Rumler had sought leniency, and defense lawyer, John Dowd had recommended probation. But the boy got some time. That's right. You break the law, you do some time. Well, 30 months for that is very, very small time. And, of course, he'll get it, where there's the golf range, et cetera. Let's see. Let's go ahead and do that. All right, we're going to go over to phone lines. If you want to get in on the show, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. We have Gunny on line one. How you doing there, Mr. Bob?
How are you, my friend?
Doing better than I deserve.
I don't think so. I think you deserve a whole lot better than you're doing.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Bob. How are you doing today?
Well, that situation here.
Okay.
That one. Oh, a bad one.
What's going on?
Well, we're talking about an administration that calls themselves something about life, and they are the administrators of life or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the administration that takes care of Terry Schiavo, and they take care of the unborn embryos and all that. You know, the snowflake children, make sure they're very, very white snowflakes.
Yeah.
But, we have a disconnect, a very, very big disconnect between truth and reality. You know, their truth is that they believe, and reality exists. It just does. And right now, I'm fighting for the life of my grandson right now, for his quality of life. Not for his life, but for his quality of life. And my son met a young lady, and they were madly in love, and they made a beautiful grandchild. And I'm not a person to dispute what the mother says or what the father says, and I didn't take sides in the thing. But this last weekend, one of her cowboy boyfriends punched this guy's over 21 years of age, and he punched a 5-year-old in the chest. Okay? And he's probably a good Republican, because that's what they do. They abuse children. They will fight and scream about a woman that has lost all cognitive ability, or for an embryo that has none whatsoever. You know what I mean? But for a child that's living, breathing, and walking on this planet, and has an understanding that his grandfather, grandmother, his uncles, his aunts, everyone in this family loves him deeply, dearly, and really accept him as a member of this family, and give him all hope and all support. And yet the mother, who, well, I'm not going to drag that out. There's a lot of dirty laundry there, and I don't think your show could stand it. So all I'm saying is that we as a nation have lost our bearing when we don't really look at each other and say, do you support the quality of life of all beings? There are people that are there, they have reached the end of their lives. Their lives are nothing but misery and pain, and they're kept alive by mechanical devices or drugs or whatever for suffering, so that they can suffer longer. And they're just asking to stop. Just stop the machine and let me go. And there are people, young people, that are just screaming, just give me sustenance and education, and I will contribute. Just give me a chance. And we bomb them into oblivion with smart bombs and these things they dropped in Lebanon that killed children. These cluster bombs, and we murder, and we pillage, and we destroy in the name of what? The society of life? No, Bruce, we become the society of death.
It certainly looks that way, doesn't it?
No, we have, because we have stopped. We've stopped looking at life for what it is. And life is joyful. It is also sorrowful. And the sorry part about it is that each life ends. None of us get out of life alive. We have to pass on. But for me, it's how I pass on. Do I pass on as a person that did nothing, sat back and watched it all happen, and said, why me, why me, why me? Or am I a person that's going to say, if I pass on, let me pass on with courage. Let me pass on with hope. Let me pass on with respect and for admiration for this thing that we call life. Period. Just give me that. So when I go out, at least I'm remembered as a man that stood for something, but not a man that stood for nothing like George W. Bush. Who stands.
You're absolutely right, Connie. You're absolutely right, Bob.
I know.
You're absolutely right.
There I go ranting again.
No, you're good. You're good, but I do have to take a break.
Yeah, well, hey, that's good to take a break. Because, hey, I got to go and you got to go, but know this. I'm up against the wall here, and I'm putting my life, my fortune, my everything that I got into saving this young man. Because, you know, he's not in danger of death. He's not even in danger of starvation. He's not in danger of anything except he is not been given a stable home under the Republican Party and the Republican people and these Republicans that control. And I'm going to risk it all to try to give him a better life. And,
fantastic, Bob.
Maybe I won't even be able to afford a phone call to you, and hey, calling you is free. But hey, my friend, good night, and wish me good luck.
Yes, good luck to you, Bob. And I certainly hope that it all works out, you know.
Well,
everyone's
hey, we'll see what we'll see, and I'll let you know later on down the line. But, like I said, you are a friend of mine, and I think dearly of you. I really do. And, hey, you deserve so much more. So much more. So much more. And not only fortune, but all the love and all the faith, all the respect goes to you. From me to you, you got me on your back, and I will stand with you anywhere, anytime, any day, any way. You the man, Bruce.
Thank you, Bob. We all are, my friend. It's up to all of us, so thank you. But I do appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, talk to you soon. That's our friend Bob from North Dakota. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll get back to our phone lines. Please do, if you're on hold, stick around. We'll be right back. This is Bruce Birch. This is the Head-On Radio Network simulcast on radiopower.org.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. There was Bush following Cheney's blood-soaked footprints up to Capitol Hill to do what? To lobby for torture, that's what. Or as he put it, clarity about what our poor, confused interrogators can do to their detainees. You want clarity? How about Common Article 3 of the Geneva Conventions, which no less an authority than the U.S. Supreme Court in June said was the supreme law of the land? Here's what Common Article 3 says. It outlaws murder, mutilation, cruel treatment, and torture, and outrages upon personal dignity, in particular humiliating and degrading treatment. You want clarity? How about the Convention Against Torture, whose full title actually says it all? It's the Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, or Degrading Treatment or Punishment. So this isn't about clarity at all. This is about legality and whether we're going to abide by it. This isn't about clarity. This is about morality and whether we're going to have any left by the time Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Gonzalez are through with us. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's 1 in 6 people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
You and the gang are out cruising North Carolina highways, but they're fixing up a little stretch ahead there, so you merge politely, and then some nut whiz by half in the bag. Wouldn't you just want to see him whipped? But hey, work zones are dangerous. I mean, it could be shelled or crushed or spread all over the highway. Heck, they could be put behind bars or in a bag. Whew. Drive safely in work zones. Don't be a nut.
Stay alert, stay alive in North Carolina work zones.
About 39 minutes past the hour here on the eastern United States. As I'm looking over my shoulder, it looks like the sun is just beginning to dip behind the trees. And, you know, we've already got some trees, some leaves turning here. It's kind of nice. I love this time of the year. Fall is one of my favorite times of the year here in the on the East Coast. And I love to go. We're about 2 hours away from the mountains, and we love to go driving up on the Blue Ridge Parkway and check out all the trees, you know, the leaves turning colors, and should be a great fall for that this year. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Joining us on the line is our good friend Dave from Eureka, California. Dave, how are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, really great, Bruce, and excellent program as always.
Thank you.
You are very much, as I see it, in tune to reality, and so are your listeners, so are all the head-on listeners that I hear calling. They understand the reality of what we have in government today. And I got to think more people must look at that and see how dishonest and how dangerous, how harmful this administration is to us, literally to the world. That, you know, I know a few things firsthand. I do know that the last election, John Kerry versus George Bush, high-tech hackers flipped some 12 million votes. Statisticians studied the exit polls, and they studied them in areas where voting machines were in use. And they found that more than 12 million votes had been turned. And they get away with this. You know, somehow, unlike Mexico, unlike the Ukraine, America thinks, well, damn, what can I do about that? And another thing that I know firsthand is that these same high-tech types, and there's thousands of them, can invade computers and change whatever they want. And we're hearing now polls that are telling us that even states like Massachusetts, the bluest of states, elections getting close, and Rhode Island, the bluest of states, and I'm saying if they conduct these polls and then feed all the data into a computer and have the computer tabulate the results, I don't think they're alone in that computer. I do think that our tech goons can go in and make those stats come out more like what they'd like them. And if they're still showing that Bush is losing badly, I dare say he doesn't have 10% of the support right now. You live in areas where you see a lot of them. I'm rambling on here a bit, aren't I? But
you're doing fine. Well, I think it's interesting, Dave, that, you know, as you mentioned that today, that actually on Lou Dobbs on CNN, they had a story about the ability of the Diebold machine being hackable. And they actually hacked into one of those machines on CNN.
Well, I think that's wonderful. Because I think those mainstream media is being told, you're not supposed to talk about this subject. And if they're doing it, they're doing a wonderful thing for this country right now. Because
and
we
can
need
actually,
to know
if you go to rawstory.com, look on the right-hand side, there's a little link to a video where Lou Dobbs, the story of the title of the story was Democracy at Risk, but it's Lou Dobbs, and it's a demonstration of e-vote hacking a Diebold machine to tilt the midterm elections. So, yep. You know, hopefully, if the media can get out in front of this rather than on the backside when everybody's going, you just wanted to, it's just the lamestream media, blah blah blah. You know, the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys. If the mainstream media can get out in front of this, that will kind of at least put some heat on the back of the election companies to make sure that they at least count the votes right. I mean, here in North Carolina, we have a voter verified law that has actually excluded some companies from even selling their election devices here. Like, Diebold cannot sell in North Carolina, not certified.
That's great. I dare say North Carolina will not go to the GOP, and I think wherever these machines are banned, thinking people will prevail. But where the machines exist, and I understand there's a massive number of them now, some 70% of America is going to be voting on riggable machines. And the GOP had these machines designed so that they would leave no records, so that there was a modem that would allow them to be entered, vote slipped, and that they could exit. There are some small precincts across this country that are on machines where only 150 or 200 people were registered voters. And those precincts delivered 10,000 votes to Bush. And people thought, well, clearly that's a basis for a recount. Recount? There's nothing to be recounted. There is no records in these machines.
Of course.
So you have to just take them on faith. And then we've got Rush and Sean screaming at us, accept it. You know, there was an honest election. Get over it. You know?
These Democrats, they just don't understand. When the election doesn't go their way, they start crying foul.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think somebody's wanted to use a phone at this end or that end. But I just heard somebody pick up on that line. But.
Okay. Well, in that case, Dave, I appreciate you calling in today.
Oh, I do love your program, very much so. You do a good service, and I think if there's everybody listening, one thing that I would strongly recommend is get yourself re-registered as an absentee voter. Vote on a piece of paper. Now, they're going to run it through a Diebold vote counting machine, and it's going to cheat. But in the end, a recount will be possible, and there's a real live piece of paper that you voted on. So I recommend to everybody, vote absentee.
I totally agree. Thank you. Thank you so much for the call, Dave.
Thank
and I certainly
you,
hope you have a wonderful afternoon.
And you too.
All right, let's go straight to, since I ran long on the last break, folks, we're going to have to take another quick one, and then we'll come back to close down the show. This is the Bruce Birch radio program on the Head On Radio Network, being simulcast on radiopower.org. I'll be right back.
Symbols of democracy pinned up against the coast. Our house of bureaucracy surrounded by a moat. Citizens of poverty are barely out of sight. The overlords escape near evening, the people on the night. Morning brings the tourists, painting eyes and rubber necks. Perhaps a glimpse of the cowboy making the world a nervous wreck. It's a mass of irony.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It's almost 52 minutes past the hour as we are descending this laborious aircraft down onto the tarmac. Just wanted to talk about a couple of things here before we get away from you this afternoon. And that is, you know, that never before, I believe, in the history of mankind have we seen it more imperative to unseat a sitting government. Don Dean recently in his new book talked about the authoritarianism that has beset, that has besieged our government and consequently our way of life here in the United States. If you, and let's put it this way. Many people that I've listened to and talked with over the last 10 years or so, 20 years or so, have talked about how little government really affects them in their daily living. They've talked about how little government really, you know, intrudes in their, you know, daily workaday life. The effects of September the 11th took everyone to their core. Now, whether or not, excuse me, I am getting over a little bit of a cold here. Whether or not that was engineered by the government or by plastic knife wielding guys from Saudi Arabia doesn't matter. The results was the same, and the results was that the administration that is now in power was given license to invoke fear among everyone. And they used that fear to push every action and push every button that they could to try to clamp down on our freedom of speech, to try to clamp down on our way of life, to try to keep tabs on everyone, including yours truly. And in the zeal with which they accomplished this, the message went out very clearly to local police departments and to local entities, sheriff's departments, law enforcement agencies. Keep an eye on those left-wing groups. Keep an eye on those that express political dissent. They might be terrorists. And as a result, your rights today have been, let's put it this way. They've been chilled. In small towns across America where people gather to have candlelight vigils to remember those who have lost their lives in the occupation of Iraq. In places such as Atlanta, Georgia, where people who monitored restaurants, people for the ethical treatment of animals, etc., in anti-war movements in California and Florida, agents have infiltrated and tried to basically subvert the direction of the groups, I should say. And it goes on and on. And now this president wants to legalize and immunize himself from torturing human beings. Where does it stop? Where do we draw the line? When do we stand up and say, no more will I allow this or accept this to go on? I've signed 1,000 online petitions for this or for that or for the other. It takes 3 minutes. While I'm doing the other things, I can do that too. It's not a problem. But do I expect much from those? No, I don't. I do expect much of is when we actually physically go out of our abodes and we go out and we take over local politics. We go to our local Democratic Party meeting and we create a progressive caucus within that Democratic Party. Or we get elected to the leadership and then we change the direction of that Democratic Party and we say, you know what? Appeasement of these right-wing thugs doesn't work anymore. Fighting fire with fire does. And that means that this fall, when we take back the Congress, it is our job to let this president and his administration know exactly how illegal they have been operating. That's our job. And your job, listener, is to go out and try to help a Democrat get elected, wherever you are, whether it's Tony Trupiano in Michigan, whether it's Sam Simpson in Florida, whoever it may be, Brad Miller, right here in my district in North Carolina, who's running against a complete whack job named Vernon Robinson. We'll talk about him some tomorrow. Go out and try to make a difference. Now is the season. Now is the season. And I beseech you to do that. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. The program today was engineered was produced by Zach Revich. I believe Lorelei took your phone calls. John Fox of Sydney, Australia is our chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network and the announcer of this particular radio program. Also would like to thank Gene of Oregon for being our Head On Headlines news ninja. Hi-ya! As he dances across the floor in black leotards. About to kick your Adam's apple out. I also want to thank Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services of Tallahassee, Florida, for being the IT professional of the Head On Radio Network. Thank you very much, Peter. Ben Birch of the White Rose Society, whiterosesociety.org, where you can find all the archives of the shows on the Head On Radio Network. And he also manages the internet streams of this radio program. Thank you, Ben, for all you're doing. Shelby LePre at radiopower.org. Simulcasts this show, the Guy James Show, and Head On with Bob Kincaid every day from starting at 3 in the afternoon until 9 o'clock at night. Thank you very much, Shelby, for all you're doing to help move the progressive message forward. I also want to thank the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Those guys are building the American dream, and they're supporting this show. So thank you guys for all that you do. And listeners, thank you for joining me this afternoon in this little excursion down the progressive path. And remember, last but not least, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. This is Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network. I'll see you tomorrow.
Be alive after the revolution. From Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers talked of solidarity and refused to build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles. We're gonna do something different. For the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried. After the revolution.
This is the Quality News Network. The FDA says it's ruled out tampering in connection with the growing E. coli outbreak from fresh spinach, which so far has sickened more than 100 people in 23 states and caused the death of at least one person. The company connected to the outbreak says its organic products have been cleared of suspicion. However, the government is still recommending that consumers refrain from eating any fresh spinach, bagged or fresh, until they're able to resolve the problem. President Bush addresses the UN General Assembly tomorrow about his vision of democracy for the Middle East. The president will also be meeting with six heads of state while in New York for a three-day visit, which began today. The White House says it's confident it can reach a compromise agreement with the Senate over the administration's proposed rules on interrogating terror suspects, but time is short. Congress adjourns a week from Friday until after the November elections. Al-Qaeda in Iraq has joined other Islamic militants in threatening to retaliate against Christians as retribution for last week's speech by Pope Benedict, which contained references to Islam and violence. The Pope apologized yesterday for the fact that his remarks had unintentionally offended Muslims. In southern Afghanistan today, a bicycle-riding suicide bomber killed four Canadian NATO troops while they were handing out school supplies to Afghani children, many of whom were wounded. Taliban is claiming responsibility. The Associated Press is urging the U.S. government to release one of its Iraqi cameramen, who they say has been detained by the U.S. military for 5 months without being charged with a crime. The AP also says the man is but one of 14,000 people the U.S. has imprisoned worldwide without bringing charges against them. More deaths in Iraq today, at least 31 people killed and dozens injured throughout the country in sectarian violence. And Iraq says it expects to take full control of a second of its 18 provinces sometime this week. Both are in southern Iraq, where there has been little violence. Talks to form a national unity government in the Palestinian territories have been suspended by President Mahmoud Abbas because of conflicting statements from Hamas over the weekend. Abbas is now heading up for New York, where he'll meet with President Bush this week. Hurricane Helene continues to gain strength in the Atlantic, but the Category 3 storm poses no threat to land. The two-week-old wildfire burning near the Los Angeles-Ventura County line in Southern California doubled in size over the weekend and has now consumed more than 90 square miles. It's heading for the Ojai Valley. 300 residents have been evacuated. Two other fires are burning out of control near Palm Springs.